Unlock your Bible. Discover the true meaning of life. Learn the cause of world problems and the astounding solution. Prove for yourself what the future holds. In the Trumpet Literature Library, you will find answers to life's most important questions. Explore these vital titles on Trumpet Bookshelf.
Welcome to Trumpet Bookshelf. I'm Grant Turgeon. Is eternal life worth it? This is a question the late Worldwide Church of God founder Herbert W. Armstrong asked in the August 1985 Good News magazine. Is eternal life worth it? We could modify that question to say, is marrying Jesus Christ and ruling alongside him for all eternity worth it? That's the greatest reward God offers to any human being. But only those who come out of the world and into his church and are truly converted today before the return of Christ can receive such an exalted reward of marrying Christ. Mr. Armstrong here is writing about how to be an overcomer. Mr. Gerald Flurry, Pastor General of the Philadelphia Church of God, has written an entire booklet by the same title that you can receive for free at thetrumpet.com. But in Mr. Armstrong's article, How to Be an Overcomer, he makes an excellent point about why we struggle with addictions and persistent sin. And that's the reality of today in the year 2024, where addictions are more prevalent than ever. There are so many forms of addiction now. It's like we're almost inventing new forms of addiction. There's obviously drugs, alcohol, pornography, fornication, adultery, junk food. But now, what about just screens in general and wasting hours and hours a day on television, the internet, or social media? A lot of these addictions are very powerful. Perhaps we have struggled with one or more of these addictions for many years. And we just can't seem to understand why. Why we fail over and over and over again. Now, we have to understand that Christianity is a way of life. It is a converted way of life where, in general, we are living according to God's law. There is a certain lifestyle, a certain pattern of good works that we live by, that we establish in our lives. But sin always lurks. And it is so easy to fall right back into the wrong way. It's so easy to slip and indulge in former bad habits. So what is the key to coming out and staying out of the world? Out of these addictions, breaking these addictions. Mr. Armstrong writes here in the August 1985 Good News, do you have some besetting sin, some point of weakness, perhaps even secret, you have been unable to overcome? Have you ever met temptation, struggled with it, only to wake up a little later to the remorseful fact that you had slipped and fallen and failed to overcome? Or perhaps you are struggling with some habit that holds you as its slave, struggling, wrestling, always fighting it, yet somehow never able to conquer it. Doesn't that describe so many of us as we try to abolish bad habits and sin from our lives. It's like running headfirst into a brick wall over and over and over again, wondering when we'll ever break through. Well, God has a lot to say about this subject in the Bible. First of all, we have to realize that sin is slavery. Sin makes us miserable. Sin is not just some harmless act or something that only hurts ourselves and therefore isn't a big deal. Sin is always a big deal. And Christ died for every last human sin to pay that penalty of eternal death for us. It's not appropriate for us to just lightly cast aside that sacrifice and go our own way. This is 2 Peter 2, verse 19. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. You see, sin is bondage. Sin is slavery. And when we are overcome by sin, we are enslaved. Mr. Armstrong continues, these things are serious. We must overcome these sins, these habits, these sudden temptations, be cleansed of them thoroughly if we expect to get through to the kingdom of God and inherit eternal life. Revelation 3, verse 21 says, to him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne. That's a promise from God. Revelation 3, verse 21. We can sit with Christ on his throne. We can marry Christ if, a big if, we overcome. It is not okay to just continue in the same old sins year after year, failing to overcome. Mr. Armstrong writes about this life, this Christian life of qualifying for our eternal future. A life of freedom, a life of joy. Again, is eternal life worth it? Is it? Is it so great that we have to deny ourselves in this life? Is it so great that it's worth all the suffering to overcome sin? Well, don't we need to make sure that's the case? Don't we need to really understand whether eternal life is actually worth it if we're going to expend such extreme effort to overcome? Romans 8, verse 18 says, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. The Apostle Paul says, you can't even compare the two. It's not even close. Our future far outweighs the suffering, the strain, the struggle of this daily Christian walk, fighting and bleeding to overcome, as it talks about in Hebrews 12, verse 4. Jesus Christ literally bled to overcome. And that is the example we must follow. It is worthwhile. This life is not the real life. The next life is what truly matters. Now, speaking of the example of Jesus Christ, we have to understand that he laid the blueprint for us. He is our elder brother. He was resurrected and transformed into a spirit being once again after his death. Likewise, we can be resurrected or transformed into spirit beings. We have an opportunity, if we receive God's Holy Spirit and we use it, to actually obtain eternal life and become just like Jesus Christ after being resurrected and glorified. So Christ has set the blueprint for us. The way that Christ lived, we must follow. And notice what Jesus Christ did. Hebrews 5, verse 7, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. Jesus Christ prayed. And he didn't just pray, he cried out in prayer. He even got to the point of sweating blood. Christ was dead serious about prayer. And he knew it was a matter of life or death. He knew that he was praying to the God who could save him from death. And that would be the only way he could escape. That would be the only way that Christ could endure to the end, remaining perfect, so that his sacrifice would pay for the sins of all mankind. If Christ had sinned just once in 33 and a half years, his death would have paid only for his own sins. And all of us would be doomed to eternal death. Once we die at the end of this physical life, that's it. But instead, Christ achieved perfection. He stayed perfect thanks to his strong relationship with God. And now we have an opportunity to receive eternal life. It also says here in Hebrews 5, verse 7, that Christ was heard because he feared. Christ feared God. God was real to Christ. Now, sometimes when we commit sin, it's because God is not real to us. We can't picture God sitting there right next to us in disgust, appalled by the sin we are currently committing. We would be horrified if another human being saw us committing that sin, whatever it might be. These secret sins, we're ashamed of them. We know they're wrong. We would be horrified if a human being saw it. And yet we're fine with God and Christ and the angels seeing it. We're fine with Satan and the demons seeing it and being gleeful that we are sinning and failing. The spirit world has to be real to us. God is real. Christ feared to disobey God. He knew that God was always watching. He knew that he didn't want to let down his Father. You can request Mr. Armstrong's epic book, Mystery of the Ages. It's available for free at thetrumpet.com. The first two chapters are about the spirit world. Who and what is God? The mystery of angels and evil spirits. The spirit world is real. And if we see that the spirit world is all around us and that we can be seen even in secret, maybe that will affect us a little bit and help us to stay away from evil. But Christ cried out to God. He was heard because he feared God. He was close to God so that he could survive and thrive spiritually. Mr. Armstrong, again in this article, How to Be an Overcomer, from the August 1985 Good News, writes about how we have to have God's righteousness, God's love, God's faith to truly overcome. Now, all that's only possible by God's Holy Spirit. And we can only receive God's Holy Spirit when we repent and are baptized into the Philadelphia Church of God, Acts 2, verse 38. But even before we receive the Holy Spirit, we have to be eliminating bad habits and building good habits. We have to be living a certain way of life. Now, the true depth of overcoming happens only with the Holy Spirit, with God's righteousness and God's power and God's love in us. Philippians 3, verse 9 talks about the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. So we do need God's righteousness. We cannot fulfill God's perfect law of love without God's power in us, working in our minds and strengthening us all the time. But we have to use that Holy Spirit once we receive it as well. Mr. Armstrong writes about how real conversion is a definite experience. It's a definite repentance. Repentance means not just saying we're sorry for something we've done wrong, but coming to hate who we are and hate our human nature, our black heart. We have to really despise our former way of life and want more than anything in the world to come out of that way and live God's way. We need God's love to fulfill God's law. We need God's faith, the faith of Christ, to fulfill God's law. We have to remember this promise from 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13 as well. No temptation has overtaken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. There is a way of escape. We can cast away these temptations and break our addictions. God says so. God says you can handle these problems, but you have to cry out to me. That's the only way. God has to deliver us. God has to provide the way of escape. Mr. Armstrong writes, temptation has come. You have struggled, even prayed, yet you were overpowered, and you did not find the way of escape. What is wrong? That's right. What is wrong? Haven't we struggled against sin before and still failed? Haven't we found that sin is dominating us? It's exercising dominion over us. Mr. Armstrong writes, have you not fought it desperately, even with tears streaming down your face, only to fail? Well, what if we have cried out in prayer, like Hebrews 5, verse 7 talks about, and we've still fallen short? What then? Mr. Armstrong reminds us here, though, that it is a consistent effort. You don't just work up the emotion, the tears, in the moment and expect God to swoop in and save you. This is a matter of always staying vigilant. James 4, verse 7 says, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Submitting to God means every thought, word, action, and desire comes before God for his approval. It's not just in the moment of temptation that we try to scramble back to God after being far away from Him before. We have to be close to God all the time. Consistent, persistent, hard, daily effort to be close to God. Constant effort. 1 Peter 5 says we need to be sober and vigilant to resist the devil. He's a roaring lion. He's lurking. He's ready to pounce at any time. And we have to be vigilant. Notice 2 Corinthians 7. This is just a crucial passage when it comes to overcoming. 2 Corinthians 7, verse 10. For godly sorrow works repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. But the sorrow of the world works death. Again, again, again. It's godly sorrow. We've talked about this before. It's godly sorrow, not worldly sorrow. Godly sorrow means we're not content until we have broken the addiction, until we have broken free. Notice the next verse, 2 Corinthians 7, verse 11. For behold this selfsame thing, that you sorrowed after a godly sort. What carefulness it wrought in you. Yes, what clearing of yourselves. Yes, what indignation. Yes, what fear. Yes, what vehement desire. Yes, what zeal. Yes, what revenge. In all things, you have approved yourselves to be clear in this matter. Study that verse. 2 Corinthians 7, verse 11. All these traits that enter our lives because of godly sorrow. How we're more careful, we're more vigilant, on the lookout constantly against sin. How we do become righteously indignant, seeking revenge against the devil, being determined not to give him the satisfaction of tripping us up. We have that fear of God, a vehement, strong desire and zeal to overcome. That is pretty special. That is godly sorrow, where we never quit and we keep on attacking the problem until it's gone and until it stays gone. And even when it's gone, we have to be vigilant so that it never comes back. Mr. Armstrong writes, when temptation comes, we are too far from God, and we are then unable suddenly on the spur of the moment to get close enough to Him to get the help and the deliverance we need. It sometimes takes time to get close to God, into that intimate contact with Him, so that we can draw on Him for the power we suddenly need. In other words, when temptation unexpectedly has come, we have found ourselves caught off guard, out of prayer, out of contact with God, out of spiritual training. You were entering a contest with Satan the devil. You tried to wrestle with him, but you were out of training, out of spiritual condition. Then Mr. Armstrong makes the point that you wouldn't step into the ring with the heavyweight champion of the world and try to beat him in a boxing match if you were just literally off the couch yesterday after munching on potato chips. You would never, ever stand a chance. And in fact, you would get violently knocked out. It's the same with Satan the devil. He is always training. He is always ready to attack us. And we have to stay in training. We have to stay close to God all the time, praying, realizing that we need God's righteousness and not our own, desiring eternal life so badly that we'll do whatever it takes. I mean, it is sad how common addiction is today. And so many of us have dealt with that. So many people have struggled and failed, but it is possible to overcome. We have to win spiritual battles. Mr. Armstrong writes, spiritual training to get and keep in constant vigilant condition to meet the foe of temptation and sin requires continuous, earnest, persistent prayer. That is why we are commanded to pray without ceasing to keep it up. Remember that and take encouragement. You can overcome. You can break addiction. Thanks so much for listening today. I'm Grant Turgeon. This has been Trumpet Bookshelf.
You've been listening to Trumpet Bookshelf. Please email your thoughts to comments@kpcg.fm. Listen for new episodes every Friday at 10 a.m. Central Time.